Well, kia ora, hello and welcome to the Coast Vineyard Podcast. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, it's so good to have you listening in. We hope and pray that wherever you may find yourself at today, that the message that you're about to hear would be helpful for your journey of faith. So, without further ado, let's get into this week's message.
All right, I'm going to jump in. Because it seems like the Lord is here, right? Hasn't it been a wonderful morning? It's just we're all back together. It's like, oh, this is so good. If we've not met, I am Jacinda, and I have had the pleasure of founding and being part of Coast Vineyard since its inception in 2013. And I'm finishing up as a pastor at the, next Sunday will be my last Sunday as a paid pastor after 30-some years of called to that part of ministry, and so I'm transitioning out, handing over a bunch of stuff to Rachel and some other different people, and then launching into some other things. So you'll hear more about that next week, but it's been a pretty fun ride so far, so let's get ready for the next bit. All right, so have you ever wondered about why some places seem to experience powerful moves of God, and ever longed for some of that to happen here, or in our own lives, or in our own context? If you're anything like me, when you hear the word revival, you may have mixed responses. I've been talking to a few different people about this lately, and for those of us that are in ministry and that maybe have been around the traps for a few decades, the number of times that people have said, revival is coming, it's starting in New Zealand, we're going to have thousands, hundreds or millions, was what someone said to me the other week, saved in the next few years. I would be a rich woman if I had $100 for every time I've been told that in the journey of my journey with Jesus. And I have encountered tastes of that various times over the years. Anyone else in the room? Where we've had those moments with Jesus that have changed our lives, right? Not as many as we want. And so I come to you, honestly, somewhat skeptical, and yet increasingly hopeful. I have the sense, we have the sense, that God is on the move. And that he is once again preparing his people, starting to move among people all around the world in a way that is like pretty amazing. And so we are wanting to lean into that, to cultivate seeds of hope again in us, to be able to be honest about some of the things that maybe hold us back a little bit. We're going to look at the history of revival, both here in New Zealand and around the world and throughout the history of the church. We're going to look at our part to play in that, and we're going to cultivate hope and expectation. So that is what we're going to start with today. Is that okay? It kind of has to be because that's what I've prepared. And honestly, and that's the stuff that God is brewing within me in the last few years. Much as I find myself a little conflicted sometimes, I cannot shake this feeling that he is up to some good things. So I should look at my notes. So the amazing thing is, we had planned to launch the series today. I'd prepared my message. This is probably the first message I have ever spoken in my 30 plus years of ministry about revival. I suddenly realized. And then as I'm preparing and I get up this morning and I open up my phone, because that's what one does after one's quiet time, is you look at your phone, and there was a message from a friend who didn't know exactly what I was going to be talking on this morning about revival in America that is happening in universities around the country over there, where they're seeing thousands of young people come to these gatherings to hear the word of God preached, to experience the gospel for themselves, and are coming to faith in thousands. But spontaneously going and getting baptized in -1 degree temperatures. It's winter there, people. It's like that. So I'm reading this going, well, this is exciting. I'm talking about revival this morning. And then, because, you know, once I'm on my phone, I just quickly check, you know, a couple of things. What's my daughter doing in London, or my daughter doing in Auckland? You know, how you do as a parent. But then this other thing pops up on my feed, and it is an article that is put out by the UK, the Times newspaper in the UK. At 8 o'clock this morning, it was 4 hours old. And it was talking about the increase of faith among Gen Z people in the UK. So here's some statistics for you. I went down a rabbit hole because I'm like, well, this Timing. Interesting things. So 62% of 18 to 24-year-olds in the UK now identify themselves as open spiritually and they believe in the existence of God. 62%. In our last census in 2023, we have 32.3% of people, the whole population, saying that they believe in the existence of God, and only 14% of them go to church, about once a month. We need a move of God. We need people to be able to encounter the love and the freedom and the hope and the purpose of God again. So that is what we're going to lean into. The beautiful thing, they interviewed some young Gen Z people as part of the article in the Times, which you could go and hunt down and look up if you want to. And it's a young guy, Theo, he's 20 years old, and he says this: I believe that we're here for a reason bigger than just looking after yourself. Our culture has sold a message that that is all you need to do. Just do whatever feels good. Do the stuff that's going to fill your pockets with money. Get all the stuff. Be, you know, party. Go hard. You know, do whatever you want and you're going to be satisfied. No, you're not. No, you're not. And our young people have tasted and seen that it isn't enough. And they're longing for something more. And like, do you know, I think the Lord is responding to the cries of their hearts. Why don't we pray? So Father, we welcome your presence here this morning. We're so grateful that you're here already, that you have already begun to meet with us in the place of worship, in the place of community being gathered together again. And we ask for more of you. We dare to ask, to be hungry for more. And Lord, I pray that you would increasingly fuel our hunger and our thirst and our longing for you. So would you come and meet with us this morning? I'm going to warn you, the more that I read about revival and about what God is doing around the world, I get really quite excited. Poor Matt came home from a meeting the other night. I'd been working on my message for the day. It was about 10 o'clock at night and I hadn't seen him really all day. And he's an introvert. He's done a day of meetings. You can imagine his desire for conversation was not high. But he came and sat in the lounge and I basically, the poor man just was like, blah, like this is amazing. Let me tell you about this thing that's happening here or this thing that I read about the Hebridean revival. Or blah, you know, and he's just like, wow, you've not talked to many people today, have you? And I actually had, but it's just there's this growing sense of excitement and passion for what God might do in our day. And I long for it. I increasingly long for it. So I'm sort of apologizing, but not really, for this. Okay? There may be a lot of this today. Oh well. Now, many of you will know that some of what I'm stepping into and have been kind of doing concurrently for the last year or so is working with 24/7 Prayer here in New Zealand, where it's an international organisation that exists for the reviving of the church and the rewiring of culture through prayer, mission and justice. Doesn't that sound good? And I get to do a little bit more of that. But part of my role in that is that I get to talk to people all around the country about prayer. It's pretty cool. And December it was, I was chatting to some gentlemen down in Christchurch we did a Pentecost prayer thing last year. Do you remember us doing that last year, for those of you who are here? And we had roughly 115-ish churches around New Zealand that signed up for this thing. It was the first thing that we sort of did as 24/7 prayer here in New Zealand. We were hoping for about 50 churches. We publicly said we'd go for 30, but hoping for 50. But we got about 115. That was year one, so we're doing it again. But on the back of that, some of these guys decided, let's just pray. Let's meet online every morning, Monday through Friday, and just pray before we go to work. So there's less than 10 of them. I could make up a number for a good story, but there was less than 10. And they did week one, and they were like, actually, that was pretty great. Should we do next week as well? So they did. And then the week after that, and the week after that. So by the time I talked to them at the end of the year, they'd been going for 7 months, every day, Monday through Friday, meeting online to pray before they went to work. And there were now 25 of them. And it was growing. And they have this growing sense of like, what would it be like if we could we find a building that we could buy in the centre of Christchurch to make as a prayer room that could be open to anybody? There's this thing that is coming out of these places of prayer. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be, actually the week after you all say goodbye to me as one of your paid pastors and I jaunt off, I'm going to be going down to Tairua and collaborating with Strawn Coleman, which a number of you may remember. Matt interviewed him here online. We did like this weird Zoom chat the other year, and he's particularly passionate about prayer. He's a gifted author and musician, and he has written a number of books about prayer. And so I'm working with him at a prayer school that he's running down in Tairua at the end of the month. And when he put out the regos, he was thinking, oh, probably, you know, 20 or 30 people. He forgot to take the regos down. Within a 24-hour period, it jumped from 30 to 55, and he quickly had to shut it down because we're oversubscribed. That doesn't happen very often to prayer schools. But this, and there are people coming from England, America, Australia, and New Zealand. They're coming from all over to pray, to learn how to pray. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a Welsh minister, he said this: the history of revival shows that all movements of the Spirit have begun with a thirst for more of God. That prayer school that we're going to be doing at the end of the month is called Thirsting. There is a growing hunger and thirst among people. And I wonder if that's what we're getting to see more of today. Last year, I got to be in the UK with Caitlin, who you saw earlier. And I was visiting with my daughter and son-in-law who live there. And while we were there, we got to go to a number of different events and met different people. We went up to the Hebrides because we both had kind of had the sense of, we think that that's a place we should go, which has our history of revival, which we'll tell you about in a little bit. But we want to share some of that with you this morning, because God planted some seeds in us then that we maybe didn't notice entirely, but that he's been watering a lot ever since we got back. So we want to give that away. But the night after we arrived, we went to... So if you ever want a really exciting trip, come travel with us, because we go to churches, we go to church conferences, we go to prayer meetings, we go to sites of revival. It's good stuff. Actually, that would be a fun trip, wouldn't it? Yeah. And there's good food and lots of fun along the way as well. But anyway, on a chilly night in November, slightly drizzly, as it's the UK, in autumn, we went to a prayer gathering in central London, where three central London-based churches are gathering together every month to pursue Jesus together. Their three lead vicars had been across to the Asbury revival that had happened in 2023, where for a number of weeks there was this massive outpouring, which started with apparently a fairly badly run chapel service, spilled over into non-stop 24/7 prayer and worship at Asbury University in 2023. And these vicars had all been across there and had had these encounters with God and this conviction to lean into unity together and pursue Jesus together. So they are now doing, as well as the prayer gatherings that are happening in their local church, they are now meeting every month. So we got to go along to this beautiful old church in Hackney, and it was absolutely full of young people. I mean, I was definitely one of the elder people in the room. They were mostly under 35. They looked like many of them had just come straight from work, and they were settling in for 4 hours of prayer and worship on a Monday evening. They are continuing to do that, so I just got a tiny little bit of video that I'd love to show you, just to catch a little bit of what's happening in the room. Is that going to work? Here we go. Experiences of worship and of prayer that I've experienced in a really long time. I didn't mind being one of the older people in the room. I long for that for us. Just saying. I'm really running on short on time because I want to tell you stories, but I want to just quickly say this. God is wooing people back to himself. as their thirst for meaning, for acceptance, and for love increases, as their desire for peace in an increasingly anxious world ramps up, as their longing for something and someone solid in a world that is changing at warp speed deepens, people are turning to and finding Jesus. And I think that Psalm 63 verse 1 begins to be their prayer, even if they use different words. Oh God, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And God's response is in Isaiah 44:3. So I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. This is the promise of God that we get to lean into. And I believe that he is doing it again. We cannot organize revival, says G. Campbell Morgan. We cannot organize it, and nor would we want to. Actually, but we can set our sails to catch the wind of heaven when God chooses to blow upon his people once again. This is why we have got a series looking at how God is on the move. We're trying to set our sails. Let me just quickly clarify what we mean by renewal and revival and awakening and all the language that you may come across in that. Renewal or awakening that often describes this personal deepening of faith. And that often starts with God's people. He revives us. He renews us. And then revival is this outpouring. It's this divine outpouring of God's Spirit. And it leads to widespread repentance and transformation. That is what we're longing for. And I think we're getting the first glimpses of. So I'm going to invite Caitlin to come join me. And we're just going to share hopefully a few short things for you. Because I am not alone in my fervor. It's very cool. So basically, we're going to just let you in on a conversation that we seem to keep having, don't we? We had it while we were traveling. We've been having it ever since we came home, and we just want to share some of it with you. So why don't you do a very quick overview of what it was we did when we were there? Have I got my back to you a bit too much? Sorry.
Yes. Better. Cool. So just a brief overview of what our trip looked like. So we started off our time in Rotterdam at the 24/7 prayer conference. And this was such a beautiful gathering. There was, I think, it was over 70 different nationalities gathered together, about 700 people in the room. And in this space, it really just felt like it was a glimpse of heaven.
Yeah.
Just seeing just the purity of worship and that increasing hunger for more of God was something that really marked that gathering. And then, as Jacinda mentioned, we went on to London, visiting KXC Church, which is a church in London, which is primarily made up of young adults. I think probably the oldest person is a pastor
40s.
Who's like 40 something. And just in that space, they're growing. There is just this increase in interest and faith within their city, and they're just seeing more and more young adults come towards their church community.
Welcome equivalent of their welcome lunches. When we were there, they had just had one. They were gearing up for another, which happened after you'd left, but I was still there. They were getting 70 to 80 people at each one. It's a struggle. The struggle is real. How do we build community? But anyway,
space for everyone.
Yeah.
And then when we went on from there, we went to the prayer gathering, as Jacinda's already talked about, and that was just beautiful. Just so awesome seeing a room filled, and I get excited by my generation, predominantly young adults who were just so passionately worshipping God and singing out their hearts' cries for more of him in their city. And then following on from there, we took a wee flight to the Hebrides, which is the group of islands right at the top of Scotland. And that was a bit of a pilgrimage where we were going to learn about the revival. There's been a series of revivals, actually, that have happened in that island or group of islands. But in particular, we're learning a bit about the 1950 49. Revival.
Yeah,
Do you want to tell us about a few key things there?
Yeah. So they are literally in the middle of nowhere. And this very windswept, barren kind of a place, and yet that seems to be a place that God quite likes because he's turned up in really powerful ways multiple times in their history. I think the earliest was 1830, then late 1800s, 1939, but then the one we were curious about was 1949 to 52. And it started because some of the people that had experienced Jesus in really significant ways in the 1939 revival saw that their churches were emptying out and there were pretty much no young people in their churches. And so in 1949, or prior to that, a number of them had started to pray and to seek the Lord for him to pour his Spirit out again. And one of their key verses is Isaiah 44 verse 3, which they kept reminding the Lord of that one that I just read out. Was just, they were like, Lord, you promised this. Will you do it again? And so they started to pray. You might have heard of a couple of elderly sisters, Peggy and Christine, who were not able to be at the prayer gatherings because they were in their 80s and one was arthritic and the other one was blind. So they would take their turn. And the interesting thing was they were also, if they'd gone to the prayer meetings, they would not have been able to pray out loud because, as was the tradition then within the Presbyterian church that they were in, women weren't allowed to pray out loud. So they were praying at home and they were really significant in this move of God as well. And so they would start praying from 10 at night till go through about 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, just persisting with this in prayer. And then there was this sort of watershed moment, and then from that point on, there was just move after move, like kind of waves of the Spirit that would just go and pour out into these different communities. Now, it's still not a well-populated bunch of islands, but they could see, like, and it started in the northern part of the island where they would go to church. But get this, guys, so one of the main people that came to be involved in the Hebridean revival was a guy called Duncan Campbell. He was in his 50s. He had been invited to come over and speak. Initially, he was like, I'm too busy. There's a whole lot of stuff going on the mainland. Eventually, the Holy Spirit and the persistent prayers convinced him to come. And then he thought he was going for 2 weeks. He ended up going back and forth there for 4 years and lived there for a period of time, took his family there. And he would pray. They would do church services and they would do like 4 and 5 services a night. Then between those things, that people would finish at the church service, then they would go, they'd have a quick cup of tea, and then they'd go to people's homes, where then anyone who was curious about faith was able to talk to people who were older in faith or had already established in their faith, that then they would come alongside them, answer their questions, pray for them, and lead them to Christ in ever-increasing numbers. And it just spread all over the islands and went on for, like, wave after wave for years of that kind of activity. But, like, literally night after night after night of people pursuing Jesus. But, like, all of that prayer that had happened, I think that's one of the things that has really struck me, is just the absolute necessity of prayer. It was preceded the revival, it sustained the revival, and it continued since, because now they are doing an annual revival conference because they're like, well, Lord, you've done it before, we're overdue, do it again. And so they are persisting in prayer, longing for more of that kind of activity now. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things about the place, I didn't say at the time, Jacinda, but as we are landing in the airport, just a little one-room airport on this teeny tiny plane, and overlooking as we're coming into land, it was just totally barren lands. And I was thinking, Jacinda, what have we done? We've come all this way to Europe and we've come to this barren islands.
The Outer Hebrides.
Yeah, Outer Hebrides. So really there's nothing too
special
about the islands itself. And in fact, all the different sites we went to, we just kind of felt the sense of the ordinariness of the place, that, you know, wasn't anything amazing to see or anything, but God chose to show up there. He chose to pour out his Spirit on these barren lands. And it was quite cool. Part of our trip, we visited a house, which was the place where they prayed. And it's called the House That Shook. And that was that happened. They had like an earthquake during their prayer meeting.
Yeah. They thought it was an earthquake. It was packed full of people, as were the homes. The home gatherings often were really packed with people. And And the whole house shook, and people thought an earthquake had happened. But then they found out afterwards that it only happened in that house. And there was this outpouring of the Spirit as it was happening. And it sort of spilled out. People were gathered all the way outside. That whole thing around the hunger, increasing hunger and thirst for God is a real thing. Because people, they didn't have a lot of cars then. So they would just walk for miles. It's Scotland. In winter, like they would walk for miles in the middle of winter, you know, to get to these places and encounter God. And like he'd been preparing their hearts, but there was such a strong sense of the presence of God all over the island. Like they talk about a group of guys that had left one of those home gatherings, it's the wee small hours, and they're walking back to their village. And they just stop in the middle of nowhere, take their hats off, because they're like, God is everywhere. Like his presence was so palpable for them. Anyway, there's a lot of stories. They're really good. I've got a book I could recommend if you can.
Yeah, lots of good reading on it. Yeah. But one of the things that I think just from the trip that's really caught my attention in the moment, as I said, it just felt very ordinary. Mm. But over the past few months, and I think, Jacinda, we've had the shared experience of just this growing vision of what God could do. And I think over the past few years, we've been very much in the COVID time, survival mode. But now, just over this past year, the word revival has kept resurfacing. I've never heard the word so much before in my lifetime. And it just feels like God is broadening our vision. And he's certainly capturing my heart for what could he do in our context? Mm. If he could do it there in these barren lands, these barren islands, then what could he do here on the coast? What could he do here in New Zealand and beyond? So, and we hear the stories. We hear the stories overseas of how God is moving. And going on from the Hebrides, went on to the Vineyard UK Young Adults Conference, which was another beautiful gathering of young adults coming together and worshipping God. And in that space too, it just really felt like there was this genuine hunger for God present within the young adults. And one of the key themes that I really noticed from our trip is that it really feels like complacent and casual Christianity is wearing off. That God is birthing new passion.
Yeah.
He's stirring up something new, and it's not the time to just be comfortable in our seats and in our pews, but God has more, and he's inviting us to lean into that more. So I'm excited.
Yeah, even in the last 12 months, there have been like a number of high-profile people around the world that have come to faith, that have courageously said publicly that they're coming to faith. Including people like Russell Brand, who is an interesting figure. But he got baptised last year and has been discipled by people at HTB, which is a beautiful Anglican church in London. What's that lady's name? She's one of the leading new atheist leaders. Ayan Hirsi Ali, she came to faith because she was like, ultimately I found life without spiritual solace unendurable. And yet she was a committed new atheist alongside Richard Dawkins. So there's on all kinds of levels, God is doing really significant things. And I think, like you were saying, you feel like you've stepped into the flow of God's story in that space. Hey.
Yeah, definitely. It feels like the sense of stirring that God is doing within. And I know that that has kind of been a similar sentiment that's felt with a group of us. And even in young adults, just this past week on Thursday, we had our first all-in gathering for the year. Did not know that we were going to be having this conversation about revival, but yet, and hungering after God, but yet our whole focus of the night was talking about hungering after God and revival as well. So just feels like God is, you know, syncing things up by the power and grace of his Spirit. But just for a few of us, we've been gathering every Thursday morning over the past few months just for a time of prayer. And as Jacinda talked about, like, prayer is fundamental. Prayer is paramount. Like, we need to be pursuing God, and that happens through the space of prayer. Mm. And even just in that space of us gathering together, it's really felt like our prayers have grown bigger. God has enlarged our heart and vision through our prayers. So just that repetitive prayer of, God, would you revive us? And would you bring revival to our community? Would your kingdom come? And if you look at the Lord's Prayer, like, the whole thing of the Lord's Prayer is like inviting us to get in on God's world. It's praising his name. It's saying, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done? Yeah. And it feels like that's what God has been inviting us into, and that has become the expression of our prayers is, yeah, God, would you do more? Would you move in our community? So, yeah, that's been something that I've noticed recently too.
Very cool. We're going to finish on this and then we'll transition into giving you all a chance to have a think and respond. But Asbury Revival, there were sort of three things that seemed to really emerge out of that, which some of what you're describing is happening. One of those is that fixation on Jesus, where Jesus is becoming central again. For many people, like that. It's not all the peripheral stuff. And we don't seek him for what he can do. We seek him for him. We love him. We long for him. We want, like we sang this morning, I want to know you more. There's that sentiment. There's that inward consecration of self. Do you want to speak to that a little?
Yeah, well, definitely. So a theme from the Asbury Revival and from the Hebrides Revival and other revivals is that inward consecration of self. It's that refreshed commitment and dedication to God, coming before God in humility and repentance. And that was something that truly did truly did mark the revival.
Oh, sorry,
God,
I thought you were talking about Trudy's face.
Oh, no, that's another one.
Yeah.
But we see even in the Asbury Revival, the worship team, they had about 100 worship teams who helped sustain or lead the revival over the 16 days. And before they went up to lead the gathering in worship, they entered a consecration room for 1 hour. And that was a space where they were confessing their sins and they were asking God to purify their hearts. And so I think part of, you know, when we're, the conditions for revival is, or seeking God is coming before God with repentance and that refreshed commitment and dedication to him.
Yeah. And then flowing from those kind of places, the other thing was the outward activation of the gospel, where we're seeing people come to faith. It's not just about us, that we're sent people and it would ripple out. So how do we respond? We had multiple ways we could go with this, but I'm going to actually invite you to stand if you would be willing and if you're able. Stick around. Can we pop up that verse, Habakkuk 3 verse 2? Lord, I have heard of your fame, and I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. Make yourself known. And so why don't we just take a moment? One of the things I was really struck by is that Duncan Campbell, in all of the times that he would preach all through the Hebridean revival, he never once did an altar call. He trusted the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives and encouraged people to take personal responsibility for their relationship with God. So we're going to lean into that. We often do altar calls and we will always be available to pray with you. So like we can do that afterwards. But my longing is that we would take a moment for us to just check in with the Lord. Where am I at with you these days, Jesus? Do I want you? I might want you again. There may be a moment of repentance required or invited, that we know there are things that have crept in that are separating us from Jesus in ways that didn't used to be there. And he promises in Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So let's just take a minute and talk to the Lord as best we know how and allow him to speak to us about the state of our relationship with him and what he may long to do in us and through us. So come, Holy Spirit, speak to your people. Share. we sang that we surrender. Each one of us sang, I surrender. I want to know more. We want to know you more. So I pray, God, that you would be praying, that you'll be sowing seeds of hope, seeds of expectation, that you would be stirring our hearts and our imaginations once again for what you may want to do in us, through us, around us, but that your Spirit would find an open and receptive people. Would you place within us a hunger that will draw us to a place of prayer? That our homes, that our workplaces, that our cars, that as we walk, as we cook, as we drink coffee with friends, that they would turn into places of prayer as we seek you and we seek what it is that you're wanting to do in our day. Plant those things within us, I ask, Lord Jesus. And fresh encounters for those who need your hope this morning. So I feel like Caitlin is carrying something to give away to us. I think God has been planting some very important things in her, for her, but for us as well. And so I've asked her just to pray a blessing, an invitation over us as we go.
So God, we want to put the stake in the ground today. And we want to say that you are welcome here, that you are wanted here. You are wanted in our lives and you are wanted in our community, in our church, God. Holy Spirit, we want you. We want more of you. Today, God, we ask that you would fill up our hearts afresh, that you would start with us, that you would revive us. And we do pray for revival in our lands. We don't want to box you, God, because we know that you're a big, almighty God. And so we pray for more of you in our community, more of you in our country, God. We need you. And we don't want revival just for the sake of a big, grand event, but we want revival because we want to know you more. And we want our friends and we want our family and we want our community to know you. So Holy Spirit, would you do what only you can do? Anything that you've planted in our hearts today, any seeds of hope or of new passion or new fire, God, would you continue to just stir in that throughout the week, God? Would you continue to reveal yourself to us? And would you help us to continue to come before you in humility and availability to use us as you please. Revive us in our lands, we pray in Jesus' name.
Yes, God. I know that for some of you, you're having a moment with the Lord and you may want to respond. And I think the way that we respond physically is actually an important part of our embodying our faith. And so wherever you are, if you feel like you want to say yes, you've been saying yes on the inside as the Lord speaks to you and you want to say yes on the outside, would you take one step forward? And I know if you're in rows, that's tricky, but you could always use the aisle. But just take that one step forward. This is me. This is me saying yes and being available to whatever it is you want to do, Lord. So do that now. So God, would you take our yeses as best as we are able to give them? Take the yes that we're giving and would you turn that into something good? Would you have your way in our lives? Would you help us to increasingly surrender to you? To actually let you lead in our lives and that you would lead us into all that you have for us personally, for our families, for our community, for our nation, for the world. Help us to pray big, bold prayers. Fill us with faith again. In your beautiful, beautiful name. Amen. One of the reasons I didn't do, like, you know, have the worship team come back up or our responses we often would is I, for every one of us that have sensed the Lord speaking to us this morning, I want you to know that that is real. It is not manufactured. It is not hyped. You're not responding to any emotional thing with the music, you know. I know we've got some music in the background, but that's because silence scares people. So what we have experienced this morning in worship and during the message and in our response is the Lord. And is a precious, He is precious. So take this and run. Pursue Him this week in prayer in ways that maybe are new. And it might only be, Lord, I don't know, I've got a prayer that we can pop up on the screen. We might not know what to pray, but it might be as simple as that. That goes with us into our week. And then come back next week and we'll talk about this stuff some more. So God bless you as you go.
Well, thanks so much for joining us for today's message. We hope and pray that it's been most helpful. If you are keen to find out a little bit more about us as a church whānau or you'd like to touch base, then you can go to coast.org.nz and there you'll find information about our in-person services, online services, various resources and activities. Enjoy the day. Be blessed.